future trends, deep insights, industry leaders. This is the iGaming Next podcast with your host, Michael Peterson.
Hello, iGaming Intelligentsia. Before we start today's podcast, here is a message from our sponsors. The iGaming Next podcast is made possible with the support from our sponsors at Pragmatic Solutions, leaders in intelligent platform technology. I've been working with Ashley, Lewis, and the guys over at Pragmatic Solutions over the last year, and as the early supporter of this podcast, I cannot recommend them enough. The Pragmatic Solutions Player Account Management platform is an incredibly powerful technology stack for today's gaming business. Their modern modular platform provides all the core services to power your business, and their SaaS licensing model allows you to reduce cost and accelerate your strategic goals. Enterprise technology with decades of operational know-how at scale built in. Upgrade your business to the Pragmatic Solutions PAM platform. Visit www.pragmatic.solutions to arrange a platform demo.
This podcast is brought to you by Alea Play, a new generation game aggregator which provides over 5,000 games with only one integration. Partnering with 80 game providers, Alea is offering top iGaming content while positioning itself as a tech leader with Amazon Web Services and Java-based platform. Alea's goal is to create an innovative and fun experience for the players. To find out more, visit alea.com. This podcast is brought to you by Pragmatic Play, an industry-leading content provider of slots, live casino, bingo, and virtual sports. Pragmatic Play excels at creating an immersive, engaging, and mobile-focused experience for players, with over 200 HTML5 games that are available in all currencies, 31 languages, and all major certified markets. Discover more at pragmaticplay.com.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the iGaming Next Marketing Podcast. Today we have a real treat for you. We're speaking to Mary Blomqvist from Elmount Group. One of the biggest brands they operate is CasinoRoom.com. And the topic for today is really not so much about advertising, promotion, and all the usual stuff we talk about in marketing, but really taking a step back and looking at a structural thing such as partnerships and how partnerships, both internally and externally, really are key to marketing success. Mary also has a very unique perspective as she's been in gaming for a very long time. But before that, she came from the tobacco industry and she draws some really interesting parallels to the gaming industry, what we can learn from tobacco. And you're just in for a treat. So enjoy this podcast. Mary, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you. How are you doing, Michael?
Very, very good. Thank you. Here in Malta, it is a bit weird, the weather at the moment. So it's 1 week sunny, 1 week rainy, 1 week sunny, and so on. And we're apparently in rain week this week, it looks like so far. How are things on your side?
Well, at least you should be happy for the sunny week. Here, we don't see the sun anymore. Actually, today, it started snowing for the first time in Stockholm. Albeit the snow disappears when it falls to the ground, but yes, indeed. So winter is officially here.
Winter has arrived, and it gets quite dark in Stockholm in winter, right? I mean, it's sort of what, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something, and then it starts getting dark slowly.
Yes, I would say, yeah, 3:30-ish. Moving forwards, going really dark, staying dark until maybe 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Then again, after winter, we have the long days and nights.
Yes, no, that's true. Very good. And as a disclaimer, maybe as you can hear, I just have to put my hand up here. Today, of course, the neighbor upstairs decided to insert new windows in the building. So if you hear a lot of drilling, hopefully it won't be too bad. I think the worst is over, but then you know why. Very good. Mary, let's get into it. So you are, is it fair to say, an industry veteran? You've been in gaming since 2008. Let me see if I can do this introduction some justice. So you started out with Boss Media, which eventually became GTech as head of marketing, where you spent 2 years. Then you were with Betsson as head of marketing and head of NordicBet, I believe, where you were also a couple of years. And then you moved into a company called Fundler. Is that correct?
Actually, you missed the bulk of about 10 years with Pam of Sweden. So that was my own.
I was coming to that. But we can take it here. So tell me about Pam of Sweden.
So that was basically after Nordic Gaming Group had been acquired by Betsson, and then I did not want to move to Malta at the time. So I started my own consultancy firm and got to be part of a few quite fantastic adventures. Starting out with LeoVegas, actually, as my first customer, and with their Sweden launch. So that was, of course, really, really plenty of fun. And yeah,
oh, it's 2012, 13.
I think it's 2012, 13,
yeah.
2012-ish. Yeah, sort of.
Okay. Wow, what a start! That was.
I know.
That must have been a lot of fun. And I think you mentioned Casino Heroes as well. You were working with them.
With Hero Gaming. Casino Heroes, Speedy Bet and Games. I've worked with quite a few brands, both from startups to scale-ups and well-established brands, also like Top 3 UK. Brands, so the spectrum is broad, mainly focusing on the Nordics and Sweden.
Wonderful. And now you're of course with Elman Group as the group CMO, and been there for about a year, right? So far, so fairly early in that journey. How is it going so far?
It's going really well, and it's really exciting. I joined Elmount at a really exciting time, so we are looking to scale the business. Got in, had to rolled up my sleeves, went through everything, turned every little stone upside down, just getting to know the company, the product. Everything about the marketing, the customers, and so forth, and then slowly building and setting a new strategy and team, and then starting to execute it. So we've done a lot in this short period of time, which is still quite long in the gaming sphere. So we have, of course, increased our KPIs, but also launched in multiple geos. So things are busy here, but lots of fun.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great. And it must be, talk to me about, because you must have started, bang in the middle of COVID. But luckily, I believe the headquarters are in Stockholm. So have you had a chance to go to the office, or have the first year been sort of fully remote and onboarding new team members remote, et cetera, et cetera?
No, absolutely. I'm sitting in the office now. So even though it was COVID times, the office is really central and not far away from my home. So we were a couple of people still coming into the office. So it wasn't very crowded. There was only 3 to 4 of us, and we still enjoyed coming into the office, having the coffee, working together, and plus the fact that we have a really, really nice office. So, and it's kind of nice to go to work, to go to the office, and be part of the little team.
No worries. Anything can happen. on this podcast.
Anything can happen.
It's all good. I have grilling and yeah, that's a lot of fun stuff. Now that sounds great. So, you know, COVID has sort of split people in two, right? There are the ones who either used to enjoy or have, you know, learned to enjoy working from home, and there are others who definitely prefer the office. So are you more on the office side of things, Mary, or a mix of both? I would say
more on the office side of of things, for sure.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. Good. So reading your CV as well, it was also really interesting, actually, when you started, I think before gaming, you were actually 4 years with British American Tobacco. So the tobacco industry as Nordic brand manager, if I read that correctly. So talk to me about that experience a bit.
Well, working in tobacco was a lot of fun. It was basically you had all the tools there for building brands, albeit big international brands or smaller local ones. So from a marketing perspective, it was a real luxury. Textbook examples of how to build the brands, and that's really where I learned about brand building and the importance of a solid foundation and planning and so on. Working in tobacco is, because it was, of course, and it should be, very regulated. One had to really try to find the gray areas to work in, and both see and try different opportunities, many of them which had not been tried before. But a lot of time was spent with educating the staff about brand building. So we were traveling not really the world, but Europe, looking into how different countries built the brands, of course, depending on the regulation. And one could also see that the regulation is quite similar to how the regulation looks from the gambling industry, Sweden, albeit a licensed country now, but still sort of grayish with other brands still having the possibility to work in Sweden, unofficially, of course. With Norway being a really, really hard one. So I would say regulation was pretty much the same. Every aspect that you did, albeit I would say the big difference was that it was a lot more regulated than we are now, a lot more, and as I say, it should be as well. Yeah. But I loved working with tobacco and with it's big international brands that have almost 100% brand recognition along in the world. I mean, almost everybody knows Lucky Strike, Dunhill, Pall Mall. Those were my brands that I was working with.
Okay, yeah. So there's obviously the regulation aspect, but if we look at sort of the brand aspect of that experience, and we sort of look at the iGaming or the online gambling industry now. So if you should sort of, I don't know, do you see some things that the iGaming industry still needs to learn or can learn from the tobacco industry by way of building brand and sort of the marketing aspect of that? Or you have such a unique perspective having sat in both industries. So how do you compare and contrast sort of the brand and marketing side of things?
Well, I would say I would say there's a big or several differences, but one of the big differences is that the tobacco industry is, of course, a lot older and has a lot more heritage and tradition to it. So, and let's speak about it from a branding perspective rather than a product perspective now.
Absolutely.
And thanks to that, all the tobacco brands had the possibility or the opportunity to build the brands in movies, the formulas for a very, very long time, which is also their solid foundation of the brand building. And I would say most of the people know their brands from that period. Mm-hmm. So once it became regulated, there's not a lot of brand building that you can do nowadays, and you cannot for sure, at least if we look at our markets. And you can't even do any product, so you can't promote the product, you can't promote the brand. On the contrary, what the only thing that you can do, and this is for the Nordics, but I would say most other at least European geos too. The only thing that you can do for now is to show the pack in store. I'm not sure how things look in Norway, but I know that already then, when I was working there back in the days, it was discussed that they would it would not be possible to see the pack or the brands either. So if you wanted to go and buy your brand, you would have to you wouldn't see it, so you would just have to say, I want a pack of what this whilst the gaming industry is a lot more young, is a lot younger business. I mean, in all honesty, one can say that we started sort of around the millennium. That's really when it took off. Or the online gaming, to speak. That's when it took off. So in these already 21 years, it's been quite a short sort of period from a branding heritage point of view. Yet in our business, 20 years, I don't know, equals maybe 100, because we're so fast pacing and so fast moving. So I would say one can also see from what's happening now from a regulatory point of view is that we're also going a lot more from brand building to, I would say, performance marketing point of view.
And that's exactly my point, right? As we look across iGaming, I guess. You know, you see, you know, everyone is digital and modern and performance and ROI and all these kind of things. But, you know, is there something to be said also for remembering, at least in the markets where you can, to remember to build brand as well and sort of, you know, allow yourself to think a little bit more long term and what benefits that might have, right? Because, again, you know, there are certain markets, take Italy, for example, where there's a complete marketing ban in place, right? So effectively tobacco industry sort of style for gaming as well, and how do the brands that built brands before that fare versus the brands that were only living in performance marketing mode before those regulations rolled out? So I guess my question is, should gaming learn and appreciate and respect and spend more time on building brands and sort of get a little bit away from the fast activation performance mode, or a combination of the two? Like, what's your view on the sort of the current state of the industry, and where do you think the right split sits between those two? Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense, that question. That was a long question.
Well, let me see if I understood it correctly. So first of all, I would like to say I think that we are so it used to be a brand building type of approach, and then we went into more performance marketing. But I would say now, or at least from a few years back, but I would say during recent years, mm-hmm. we also started to building the brands again. Mostly in terms of if we look at an RNG perspective, which is really important for the whole industry. Mm-hmm. So we're taking it very seriously, and we are we're doing this as a joint. So the whole industry wants to work on this, and we are also educating our customers about the responsible gaming approach that we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's a serious problem that we're trying to work around the best we can. So mm-hmm. I would say we're from an RNG perspective, we've started to build the brands more. Mm-hmm. We're also taking care of the customers, which is, and I would say this is probably the most important from a business point of view, to take mm-hmm. care of the customers from this perspective.
Yeah,
and then we also have the entertainment part to it. I would at least say that our at least my brand, but I also know, I mean, if we'll also look at Leo Vegas and to mention another, we're trying to elevate the entertainment and the fun part of it too. So it's, and I think those are the two ends that have to meet. Mm-hmm. So the RNG at one end mm-hmm. meets the entertainment part of this business. We are focused on light entertainment, which means that Casino Room is aiming towards the customers that are in it for fun. So they come to play for fun and for the entertainment part. Hence we have the light entertainment approach. So I would say a combination of these two. Now, having said that, because we are in an extremely mature it's an extremely mature business, we also have to add spice to it. And I would say the spice in this context would be the promotions. So I would say the best the marketing mix that I like is, of course, number one, the RNG perspective. Number two, entertainment, and of course number three, what's in it for our players.
Very good. I started going on mute here just in case you didn't hear, because they were doing weird stuff upstairs again. No, that's very good. So just to set the scene a little bit more on Elmount as a group as well, so you're obviously operating CasinoRoom.com as one of the main brands. But definitely unknown to me. So first of all, your headquarters in Sweden, but you have about six offices, I believe, around the world, about 100 employees. And then one of the things you mentioned in a prep call was extremely low turnover of staff. So talk to me a little bit about sort of Elmount as a company culture, and why do you think that is?
Of course, I can only speak from my time being here. So I joined about a year ago, and I joined under the management of Mr. Klaus af Buren, who is the group CEO. And he joined about 2 years ago, and I know that during his time, he's basically turning the company, and scaling it, and making all sorts of exciting times coming ahead without being able to say a lot more. But I would say he's a really unique leader. So he has a really strong, of course, business acumen, but commercial perspective. But he's also a people's person, and I would say it's rare that you see these two come together in one leader. So the people, the culture is extremely important in our company, and we try to of course it has been a bit challenging during COVID times.
Yeah.
But still, with Zoom and so we're managing to stay in contact. Now, I could say this was just when this was 2 years ago, I believe, 1 or 2 years ago, but during under COVID. So the whole company was going to go to Costa Rica for the Christmas the Christmas party, but yeah. because of COVID, we couldn't really do it. But what we did was that we had a really great digital conference instead, with a few physical touch points. It's hard to explain, yeah. But the closeness to the staff and to the teams is very very important, and information is also very important, and plus the fact that you understand not only me but my team and the other teams understand where we are and how important each and every one of our work is in order to achieve the company KPIs.
Yeah, and I think that's such an excellent stepping stone to the main topic, really, of this podcast. We spoke about when we speak about marketing, we tend to easily focus down the advertising route or promotions or sort of the more tactical stuff. But if we take a step back, and that was your approach from the beginning when we started talking here, was to really sort of look at the more structural stuff, and especially sort of partnerships or relationships or whatever we want to call it, both externally and internally. So let's talk about that. So in your view, how does a successful partnership look like? And your choice if you want to sort of think internally or externally first.
Well, I would, to be honest, I would say that it's like any type of relationship, will be to a friend or to a company or to your beloved ones. It all has to be built on a solid foundation of honesty, trust, and care. So all these three are the foundation. But it also has to be has to have some kind of mutual sort of goal
yeah.
to it. That is a winning goal, and also to have a sustainable growth for both parties, and of course, being a relationship, it has to be for two parties, and it has to be successful for both. So I would say that's the core, the core of it, where both parties benefit from from it. So it's not a one way, it's not my way or the highway type of relationship, but it's both ways. And I would say from the private sort of, if you look at family and friends and that's probably goes without saying, but it has to be identical also from a business perspective. So albeit it's with internally with the employees. Or with partners, it is there. It's a bit more formal, where you formalize it. We have an agreement and so on. But actually, I looked up. So the definition for a successful partnership is it's a formal arrangement by two or more parties to manage and operate a business and share its profits, and that is exactly how it should be. Both parties mutual sharing the profits.
Yes, that's such a great description. I think we spoke about in the prep call as well that especially sitting in as a marketing leader or working in the marketing division, it's probably one of the sort of the teams within any company that probably has the most sort of dotted lines to the surrounding teams. I mean, especially in gaming, right? I mean, you know, mention a team that does not communicate or coordinate with the marketing team, right? So it's so crucial. Plus, of course, the external relationships as well. It's I don't think you can understate that if you know these structural things are not in place, then the advertising or the promotional aspect of that becomes secondary, right? They're not going to function. You're not going to have the efficiency and the success that you're looking for if the sort of the communication and the partnerships around the company are not in place, right?
100%, 100%, and we have there is also a school book type example of this. Do you remember the car, the Volkswagen car? We called it the bubble in Sweden. So I can't remember when was this. It was mid to late 90s or something. So they had revamped this old version, and they had done a massive marketing campaign around it. And I remember I wanted one of those cars myself. And it sales peaked for the first, the second, maybe the third year, I can't remember. But then the product didn't deliver, and well, the rest is history. I don't think it's in the making anymore. So hence, I always say the easiest part is to find the customers, but you also have to deliver upon your brand promise, but also on your product promise. And if you don't, there are rarely, and especially not in our in the online gaming, there are rarely second chances. So if the UX and UI and everything if the product is not there, it doesn't matter. You can have the best brand, you can have the best marketing campaign, you can have the best teams, but if the product doesn't deliver, there's no long-term sustainable growth.
Absolutely. So how do you guys work with, I guess what we're saying is the marketing function, it has such a strong link to the product function as well. And it goes both ways. So how do you work with that within Elmount Group or Casino Room? Like, how do you ensure that this communication, this two-way flow, works?
So, and of course, we are, so we're, there's 100 of us, and which also allows us to be more sort of flexible and going into elaborating into areas that are a bit broader than mm-hmm. just marketing. Mm-hmm. So in this perspective, of course, we have the team meetings and all of that. But I would say from my perspective, I'm actually also involved in CRO, so conversion rate optimization projects, mm-hmm. which really belong to product. Mm-hmm. But then it's in limbo also, because it's somewhere in between product and marketing, because it also has to do with conversion rates and optimizing those KPIs. So when it comes to anything that has to do with optimizing the sort of the marketing KPIs, I am involved also in it from a product perspective. Mm-hmm. So the dotted line is really very very close.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. I think it's the marketing team typically, depending on the organization, will probably also be the ones that have the most finger on the pulse in terms of the consumer, what they're looking for, the latest trends, you know, through research of focus groups or NPS or feedback or whatever happens, right? And I think we have, you know, if there isn't a structural sort of setup where, you know, some organized monthly meetings or whenever the sort of product team sits down and say, right, what's next and what's the roadmap for next year? You know, I think it's so important that the marketing function somehow gives input to that process as well, and it's really a joint effort to make sure that the customer of the voice, the voice of the customer, it was in reverse, comes into the product and to the organization overall. And I think that's really a responsibility of the marketing function to sort of, you know, facilitate that, whether it's a formal process or not. I think that's so important. So I don't know if you have any formal processes in place, like, you know, whenever the plan for 2022 is discussed, or the product roadmap or innovation meetings or something like that, where marketing sits in. Or is it more sort of informal in LMAP?
No, I would say we definitely have formal meetings, and it is, we are living in a meeting culture. I would say everyone is. So we're very much integrated with other departments, both on top level, and then the specialists, and so everyone is speaking to the relevant stakeholders, but product marketing and of course tech and customer service. I would say and finance. Everyone is talking to each other, and that's what we have to. We have to be in line and deliver upon everything that we promise.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, so these are, of course, sort of very sort of internal partnerships, if you will. So if we look out the window and sort of the external world and sort of the third party partners, agencies, traffic sources, whatever it may be, how do you think about that sort of things? Like, how do you, you know, build a great partnership with your external partners?
So. I would say it's the same foundation, and it's also kind of like dating. You meet someone that catches your interest and curiosity, and then you start to getting to know each other, and then you see that, oh well, there's a massive opportunity here.
Yeah.
And then you go develop it into a more long-term and serious relationship, or it's a short-term and moving on, or you stay friends. And I would say it's a similar approach to doing business. You have different types of relationships. You have there's the static ones that they have to be there, and there's not really a lot of personal connection there. It's just it has to be there because business needs to move forward. But then you have and I sort of prefer these type of relationships. I really care about my network a lot, and it's also like watering a flower and playing music to a flower. It will flourish, and that's why I also want to take care of my network. So in my network, I have a lot of, I would say, professional friends or people that I have known for a very long time, that I know are honest, trustworthy, and loyal, I would say. Someone that I can trust. And I have a few of those that are well, either suppliers or traffic sources or what have you. And one of the fantastic things with having that you trust in this way and that trusts you back is that you can explore new areas. And now I am together with a big traffic source. We are exploring a new channel together, so it's not there yet. So, and I cannot tell a lot more about it. But we are doing this together. So it's not us just, let's say, buying traffic for them. And it's not just them delivering traffic to us. But we have to jointly make this this work. And we have joint interests. I want to make them, of course, successful and prosperous, because that will also make my business prosperous and with growth. So I would say there's a lot of course benefits of a successful partnership, but you will get the first refusal of a lot of things, which is kind of nice to be in that spot.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think, I mean, there, like you're saying, there are so many different types of partnerships and relationships, but especially if we deep dive into sort of the world of affiliation, right? So the relationship between an operator and an affiliate, and I 100% agree with you. You know, it's based on trust and honesty and really having this sort of you know, wanting the best for each other effectively. And that's, like you're saying, that's when the magic starts happening, right? You start coming up with ideas and developing, and you know, why don't we do this and we can do this together? And you know, that's really where the fun begins. But you know, at the same time, if I look across all the relationships that exist, probably the operator affiliate relationship is one of the sort of classically more sort of strained relationships, or it often ends badly, or there's many sort of, let's say, bad examples out there. Let's put it this way, where things are maybe not working out so well. But so I guess, you know, sort of what is your advice to other operators out there to establish, apart from obviously the core, but sort of how do you get started and build this foundation and keep it growing and get to the place where the magic starts, basically, with affiliates? And I guess the second part of that question is, what should affiliates expect from operators and the two-way relation effectively. Well, let's start with the operators. How do you build these relationships strongly with affiliates and make sure that it's a win-win?
Well, I would say first of all, we have to have they have to have the offering that we are looking to buy. I would say having established that, expectations. It's all about managing expectations. Managing expectations, and in order to set the expectations, you have to talk about it. Talk about the objectives and the achievements and how to get there. Which again comes down to openness, a good dialogue, honesty, and trust. And I would say a lot of times you skip this sort of part. You just go, oh, okay, so do you have, we're looking to scale or grow here? Okay, yeah. Perfect. So I have that product. Wonderful. What's the price of it? Okay, good. Let's make a deal. So on
Skype in 30 seconds.
Exactly. But then you have not managed the expectations of any party, not your own and not the one of the affiliates. And what is the definition of disappointment? Well, it's when reality does not match your expectations.
Exactly.
So even though it seems like, but we all know that we're looking for this, it's not really the case. Because also, if you look at it from the affiliate perspective, as well as, it's not only from our business. It's like, look at other businesses. Look at FMCG. You have various price segments. You have the low price segment. You have the middle. You have the premium. You have the super premium price segment. Well, this also applies sort of to our business. But when I talk about price, it's not necessarily the price, but it's more of the value that comes in. So hence, I would say this intro that is the base for the partnership, where you discuss openly and say, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I expect, and then where the other party says, I can deliver or I cannot deliver upon this. I would say most of the time everybody says that they can deliver, and they can deliver, but most of the time this conversation never took place.
Yeah.
And then the delivery, a lot of times the delivery does not match the expectations. And this is where it does not become so successful.
Yeah. So using your dating analogy from before, we should stop dating on Skype and take our time and go out for a lunch or a coffee instead.
And
really make sure the foundation is in place. Do you have the right geos? What are the expectations to you, to us, et cetera, et cetera? And build from there.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's very good. One of the things,
we must not forget also to check upon the deliveries, which we always do. And then when we see what was delivered, and did it match our expectations?
Absolutely. You need to measure success as well, and either adjust or praise, right? That's very important. Okay, very good. So, how can I say? As a sort of looking at the affiliate operator sort of relationship as well, there are definitely also times when things not always work out as expected. The date was nice, but living together did not go so well. So
left
I guess
a bittersweet taste.
Exactly. So I guess there is also some lessons to be learned in sort of how to manage an ongoing partnership. So I guess at some point, you know, when things are not going so well, maybe you could share some experiences around sort of, you know, the basics are there and it's more about fine-tuning, adjusting and getting back on track. And there is also another kind where it's sort of like, you know, this is not working out and sort of you need to sort of draw a line in the sand and say, you know, cut your losses. This is not working for you. It's not working for me. Let's part ways. So maybe you could talk a little bit about those two scenarios, like how you work with that and how you think about that, Mary.
Well, I would like to use an example. And this is, it's, it was something that I did back in 2015. So I was doing a Sweden business plan for this big operator that was going to launch in Sweden. And I kind of really like my partnerships. So I was looking, and I also at times have really crazy, sometimes good, sometimes not so good, but ideas. So in this case, I was looking into establishing a really solid and strong partnership with one of the leading media houses in Sweden, and I knew the. Sort of the director very well from the house, and we had several years of a good relationship. So we started discussing, and he was very open-minded when it came to doing business in different ways. Mm-hmm. So remember, this was in 2015, and this was in Sweden. So our basically what the relationship would consist of was that we would of course bring a nice budget to the table, but it would not just be them delivering the media space and the figures, the NDCs sort of for it, but we were looking into also delivering the value to it. So it would have been. We were actually looking for a small JV, maybe setting up a company together where we had like basically a 50-50% interest in mm-hmm. making this happen. Mm-hmm. And it was in the end also measured in terms of CPA, and this would have been the first. In Sweden there were no CPA deals at the time. Mm-hmm. And a very nice and concrete and fair plan that we did, which was a winning concept to both parties. However, what happened was that the person, the counterpart, left and went to another company, and I had finished the business plan mm-hmm. For the operator and handed it over. Mm-hmm. So what happened then in the execution was that they did a shortcut. So they went to another competing house and proposed the same partnership, but without sort of without the mutual commitment, it was more from a pure CPA deal. And if the counterpart would have understood the challenges in delivering those numbers, if the dialogue had been transparent and open, and where both parties has as much information as the other, then it would have been successful. But because one party had not all the insights or the experience from such a partnership, so what happened was that they of course they saw a nice budget coming their way, and thought, well, we can do this. This is our core business, and of course we can deliver. But at the time, they did not really know how much an NDC was worth, nor in terms of lifetime value, or in CPA. So in this perspective, the CPA was set too low, or rather, the volume goals were set very high, which meant that, and it came into reality. And this touch point, this digital touch point, was plastered with the brand. It was all over the place. Also in places where you would never have seen another gaming brand be placed. And they worked, and they pushed, and they pushed, and they gave away so much of their space. And I would say 6 months later, they realized that they can never deliver upon the goals that were set in the contract. Yeah. So the consequences of this was that there was no continuous relationship. In fact, it was very bittersweet. And the experience was very bad. So what were the consequences for the industry? So I would say, if this would have worked the other way around, like it was meant to be, with both parties having the same information, the same insights, the same expectations, again, the same expectations, it would have been a prosperous thing. And we would have seen plenty of these type of deals in Sweden, but because it was not a fair deal, to be frank, it was a negative result, and they never came to work on this again. So I would say this made this had a negative impact on the business itself, because we could have prospered in a completely different way of media purchases, for instance, than we are today, or have been up until now. So it could have brought us a lot closer, but it didn't. So hence the importance again of the ingredients for a successful partnership, and don't take any shortcuts.
And no shortcuts. Make sure you do your homework in your dating game. That's important for sure.
Exactly. Don't skip dinner.
Don't skip dinner. Dinner is very important.
Or coffee.
Very good. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing that, Mary. So I'm very aware of time. Time flies when you're having fun. So we're almost sort of one hour in here, Mary. So I wanted to sort of round it off a little bit, because we also have almost my favorite part of is the lightning round, where we get to know Mary a little bit better as well. So let's make sure we have time for that. But to summarize, to round off, Mary, we spoke about partnerships being so key to marketing success, and to not sort of speed date and jump into 30-second Skype messages, especially in affiliates, but to remember that lunch, remember that foundation, and not taking shortcuts, because that is really what will carry the relationship forward, and that's, like we said, that's when the magic starts happening, when the mutual trust is there, and the foundation is in place. But Mary, if you had to round it off, sort of like, you know, I don't know, top three, top five things from your side to make sure that there are successful partnerships in a marketing function, what would you say? What would those be?
So are you talking about internal now or external?
It can be both. It can be anything.
I would say the core, the heart is the team.
Yes.
Of course, you have to have a winning and passionate team. And I would say maybe this is the hardest to find the individuals that really want this, that are passionate about this, and that want to run in the speed and in the same direction as you are, or as the company is rather. And then you also have to match, of course, from a personality perspective. And we all know that individuals that are happy at work also have a happy boss, sort of in terms of of results as well, because you do go the extra mile for it, it's at your core. Because work is alongside with your private life. I mean, you spend so much time at work, and you should be happy. Being happy at work and enjoying it will create a winning team.
Yeah.
So build a foundation of the individuals that are passionate about this and run in the same speed and direction that the company wants. But also, and again, this is based on honesty and trust and managing expectations again. And also, we forgot something very, very important: empowerment. Empowerment is really, really important.
Yeah.
And the same goes for external. Find those partners that are like-minded and that want to run in the same speed and direction as you are. And bear in mind, it does not necessarily have to be that. You want to run at 200 kilometers an hour all the time. You have to escalate slowly as well. So you need the different speeds too. So you should run at 50, at 70, at 110, and so forth, building a solid growth. So. Again, finding the people that are passionate in the same way as you are, and happy in what they're doing, and that you have a similar plan of how fast you will drive.
Very, very good. Very well put. Thank you. Thanks for that, Mary. Wonderful. Look, let's jump into the last part here, which is what I call the lightning round, Mary. So I'm gonna ask you 10 super quick questions, and you just give your immediate thought. Don't think about it too much. So, for, you know, is it A or is it B, or what do you think about it? So you have about 2 seconds per answer. Okay, are you ready for it?
Michael, can I just say, I forgot to say, so how fast do you want to drive growth?
Sorry, say again?
How fast, so the last sentence
yes.
I wanted to say was, how fast do you want to drive growth?
Yes, so establishing that in partnerships.
Yes.
Yeah, very good, very good. Perfect. All right, so are you ready for 10 fast
questions? I am indeed.
Fantastic. Texting or talking?
Texting.
The last song you heard?
Don't remember.
The metaverse.
Oh, what is that?
The metaverse. That's what Facebook is hiring 10,000.
Oh, yeah. I thought so, but I wasn't sure. Copycats.
Okay. Your favorite food?
Lebanese.
Bitcoin.
No.
Would you rather climb Mount Everest or do skydiving?
Skydive.
Dark or milk chocolate?
Milk.
Harry Potter.
Ish.
What's the weirdest food you have ever eaten?
Oh, cockroaches in pie.
Ooh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, and I think I know the answer to this because you live in Stockholm. Do you own a bicycle?
Actually, I didn't up until just 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
So, wow. Yes, now I do.
Now you do, but up until 3 weeks ago, no. That's fairly uncommon living in Stockholm, isn't it? It's like literally everyone is on a bike.
I was the queen of walking.
The queen of walking. Okay, that's probably equally as good, I would say. Very good, Mary. Mary, any final comments or thoughts from your side, or how can people connect with you or follow Elmount or Casino Grounds more if they want to do that?
I'm in all on all social channels, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so is Elmount. We're always looking to hire bright and passionate and happy individuals who want to run the same speed. So really? Check out, yes. So check out.
You have a lot of open roles vacancies at the moment.
No, we don't. But we are in fun times, and we're scaling our business. So there's a lot of fun to coming up.
Amazing, amazing, very good, super, Mary. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure getting to know you a bit better and Elmount Group, and now we're all experts in partnerships. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Michael, for having me, and it was lots of fun.
Have a fantastic day in Stockholm, Mary. Take care.
Thank you. And you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.